happens. We're putting back all the other things that make our worship convenient or easy for us. Or all the just the weight of the world just gets back on us and we backslide right back into our comfort zone. And so I really want to focus in on what are we worshiping? Even in moments of difficulty like Taryn and the persecution, different things that are circling them, you still have moments of to worship. I mean, you strip away everything around that. Just like whenever you at the Falls Creek thing, you take away the cool effects. And your church, you take away the cool effects. What are you still focused on? What are you still worshiping? It should still be King Jesus. Mm-hmm. Nothing you add to a worship service could bring you closer to Jesus. Having a heart ready to worship is the best thing that you can have. So take away the conveniences. What do you have? If it's still not ready to worship, if you need the extra stuff to get ready to worship and base that worship service off of how great the songs were or how great the service went or the worship leader and stuff is, then I would say, man, you're misguided in your worship. You're worshiping all the conveniences that we've added to the service rather than coming in ready to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so when I look at this, I think about Taryn's situation. I think about, you know, getting ready for camp. I looked at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 is the first part of where I'd like to spend time at. And depending on wherever the Holy Spirit leads, I'll probably jump around a little bit more. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're looking at Peter who's writing to different groups of Christians that who've kind of been going through it a little bit. They've been persecuted. They've been experiencing some hardships. And I love what Peter writes in encouragement to that persecution. And so here we go, starting. I'll just start in verse 1, and then I'll get to the meat of where I'm trying to go. But in verse 1, it says this: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling of his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found and result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so when I read that, you know, he's writing that for people that are enduring persecution and all sorts of different things in these different areas, the dispersion of all these different areas. I look back there in verse 3, starting up there, and, you know, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy." Well, what mercy are we talking about? The mercy that we've experienced is that if we put our faith in Jesus, the mercy that we've been shown is, you know, getting something that we don't deserve. You know, and that is the forgiveness of God. We rightfully deserve judgment. We rightfully deserve separation from God. But the great mercy that God has shown us is by sending his one and only son, Jesus, to live the perfect life that you and I are never able to live up to him willingly dying on the cross, dying a sinner's death, a criminal's death that you and I rightfully deserve. But Jesus loved us so much, he took our place in that position because he is the perfect son of God. And he is the only one capable of making that sacrifice, satisfying the wrath of God poured out upon himself, staying in the grave for 3 days, and then rising from the grave again, proving that he truly is the Son of God, that sin and death have been paid for, and that anybody who would come to him by faith and put their trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sin and salvation, that they would have eternal life. They'd be adopted as a child of God. And so that is the great mercy that's been shown to us through Jesus. And I love continuing on. It says this: he has caused us to be born again, yet again. See, to be born again by putting our faith and trust in Jesus to a living hope. through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I love the living hope of thinking of it this way. You know, as Christians, we do have hope. But it's different than what we experience like in the world. It's different than worldly hope and what we've grown up around. Whenever we've grown up, like we've gone through different vacations. We didn't get to vacation a whole lot, but when we did, man, it was awesome. Even if it was just up to Oklahoma City and staying in like a motel and just to get away with a swimming pool at time to time, it didn't matter. Whatever it was fun to do as a family. And we knew, and I knew like that was months off or maybe whatever, however far off in the future it was. Man, I was so ready for it. Man, I was hopeful for it. Man, I hope it doesn't get canceled. Mm-hmm. Because there's been times where I had been very hopeful about a family vacation or a family trip, and last second, we can't. And then I'm crushed. I am no longer hopeful. I am heartbroken. I am upset, downright angry at times because, man, I looked forward to that. I'm a little kid. I can't do that on my own. I am hopeful that this event happens. I'm hopeful our vacation happens. So your hope is based on like other circumstances and for things to come through. What I love about this is as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we don't have a possible hope. We don't have like a dead hope because that doesn't even make sense. It's like jumbo shrimp. It's like an oxymoron, a dead hope. Like that's not even hope then. But we have a living hope. Means this, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not dead. He is resurrected. He is alive. And so therefore, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, our risen Savior King, we have a living hope. Hope for us in the Christian world who follow Jesus is this, that hope for us is a future certainty. We have a future certainty. I mean, that means so much to me that I wrote it on my hand so I wouldn't forget it, right? Hope for us means future certainty. We don't have to go, man, I hope Jesus comes back. And then, oh, well, nope, God canceled it. Like, God decided different. And then we're heartbroken and crushed. No, we put our faith and trust in Jesus. We have a certainty of hope that our Lord and Savior has risen from the grave, that we are truly forgiven of our sins, that we are adopted into the family of God. We are a child of God. And we know that someday that our King is going to come back. That is our living hope. We know that our Savior lives and reigns and is going to come back for his church someday, and we have got to be ready for that. And if we're not, and if we are ready for that and we die before, then good. Praise be to God that we're going to be there already with him in heaven. So we have a living hope through what? We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
That is the living hope that we have, that our Savior is not dead, that he is alive, that he is resurrected. Like, that is the living hope that we have as Christians. And that is such a beautiful thing for me that I hold on to. And then looking at verse 4, it says this. So great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, not a dead hope, not a possible hope, but a for certain future event that is going to come, Jesus returning for us. And that is all possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiling, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed to you in the last. What I love about that is that, look, we can come ready to worship God throughout whatever situation, just like whatever Taryn has experienced of them taking everything that was their church that they set up to get ready for. And what happened when I texted, he texted me and he said, man, today was powerful and awesome. He sent me pics and videos of this same collective of people that were sinners that are in need of Jesus coming together, worshiping loudly, proclaiming the living hope that they have in Jesus, worshiping him for all that they have. Minus all the conveniences that we make of worship. Like, they still gathered and worshiped Jesus. And so when I see this, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Take all the things in this world. What do you still have? Our hope in Jesus, which is still everything that we need. Just like when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you have eternal security. I don't know what other people preach in here, but I know that I fully believe in this, is that is the eternal security that you have as a believer. Because the inheritance that we gain, you gain as a child of God, which Jesus is the Son of God. And so when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we become also a child of God. So what does that mean? Our inheritance is what Jesus has. We inherit the kingdom of God. We inherit all that Jesus has as well. And man, I think if that was our picture and our mindset that, man, I get to be a child of God, and what do I inherit as a child of the King? I inherit the kingdom of God. I inherit eternal salvation. I inherit that, in which that what Jesus has. And that blows my mind. That I know that I am unworthy of that, but by the grace of God, I get that. Why? Not because I deserve it, not because I earned it, because of everything of what God has done for me through Jesus. And I inherit that as a kingdom of, as a child of God. And there is nothing that can it's imperishable. It is undefiling. It is unfading, meaning that nothing can be, it cannot rot. It cannot be taken away. I can't lose it. I can't do anything like that. It is an inheritance. You know, I inherited a few things when my grandma T passed away. She was my best friend. Grew up with her all my life. She passed away eight years ago, and I got a couple of things from her. Like, I inherited that from her. I didn't get that because I paid for it or I did anything like that. But I inherited that because it was passed down to me. It got passed along to me, and so. What do I get when I put my faith and trust in Jesus? It's not because I earned it or because I paid for it, but it's because of what Jesus paid for. And I put my faith and trust in him, so I inherited that. I inherited the kingdom of God. And so the inheritance of that is imperishable, undefiling, and unfading, kept in heaven for you is, you know, it's our eternal salvation. It's not... Eternal salvation for me is not something you earn. It's something that was already bought for you that you could put your faith and trust in. You can't. I truly believe this is why I believe in eternal security. Is because if you did absolutely nothing to earn it, you can't do anything to lose it. It wasn't yours to give. So if you cannot earn it, you can't believe it, because there's a quote by a theologian that says this: look, if there was a way for you to lose your salvation, you would. You absolutely would. I know that because I am still in need of Jesus, the same as I was before I met Jesus. I still constantly need the grace of God. I continuously need to ask for forgiveness. Just because I'm a follower of Jesus does not mean that I am not still sinful. Like, that's just the human nature. But I can come to God and ask for forgiveness and continue to seek him daily and know that he is a good father, that 1 John 1:9, that if I confess him that he is faithful and just, that he'll forgive me and cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness, that I still need Jesus daily. And so so that's for me what I get out of when I read that. Our inheritance, it's imperishable, it's undefiling, it's unfading, can't lose it, can't, you know, get all of that. So we look forward to our living hope that we have that's coming. And then verse 5, who by God's power being guarded through the faith of our salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, in this you rejoice. I think that's crazy that, hey, as you're being persecuted, as you are facing difficulty because of your faith in Jesus, you are to rejoice in that. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I love this, that, hey, you'll be tested, you know, in your faith. Consider it joy. Rejoice in it that you are considered worthy enough to be to receive this hatred of the world, the same way that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was punished, you know, and received persecution. That, man, what an honor that is to receive that persecution, to be in the company of Jesus, like in that way. And to me, there's a Bible verse, it may be Malachi 3:3. I don't know about. Silver being refined in the fire and stuff like this. And I love this, that you'll be grieved by various trials in the tested genuineness of your faith. And it's more precious than gold that perishes. It's tested by fire. there's a time where in our faith, we're going to be tested. And oftentimes, and you're not tested in a way that can, God doesn't test us in ways that leads us, that could end up in sinfulness. I think that's one thing that I've learned along the way that I believe in James 1. I think it mentions it. But, you know, when we're tested in our faith, it's not – God doesn't test us in ways that could possibly lead us to sin. That's usually our own brokenness. But in this, there's going to be times we're going to go through different trials or difficulty and stuff like this. And we're like, man, I don't understand this. Why is this happening? Like, I feel like God's punishing me in this way. But do you know, like a silversmith, when they're working with silver and they're trying to work with it, trying to mold it and trying to get it, like when they have that ingot, that ore or whatever, and they put it in the fire and they're melting it down. And what they're doing in that process, that silversmith, when they're putting that silver in the flames, in the heat to the fire, what are they doing for that? They're not just heating it up for the sake of being able to shape it and mold it, but what they are doing within that fire is bringing up to the surface and melting out the impurities that is within the silver. They're bringing out all the fractures, all the dirt, all the dust, all the grit, all the things that could leave that silver impure, not clean. And they're bringing it to the surface to get rid of it, to purify the silver. And so that it can be shaped and molded and brought into whatever the silversmith has in mind for that ore of silver. And the silversmith, do you know how they know, okay, this is pure now? Like, this silver is finished. It's been purified. All the broken things, all the nastiness, all the gunk, all the dirt, all the rust, whatever is in silver that they're cooking out of it or heating out of it, how the silversmith knows that this silver has now been purified, it's when they can see the reflection in it. Mm. When they're working the silver and they can bring it out, and they can see their reflection in that silver, then they know, okay, this silver has been purified. It has been good. All the broken things, all the nastiness, all the grit, all the dirt, it's been purified. And what I love about that, when we go through different trials, when we go through difficulty, maybe when we're going through persecution, and we rejoice in it, we're glad in it, we're happy in it, because we're in good company, because if our Savior also experienced that, he told us we're also going to experience that in this world. But we can rejoice in it because we know, man, it's just testing our faith and our genuineness of it, and that even through all of that testing and persecution and things of this world, man, God can use that to continue to shape us and mold us and strengthen our faith that is more precious than gold, even though it's been tested by fire. And so even in our persecution, he is bringing out the things of us that may cause us to lack in faith, or make us to not trust in him more, or in this and that. And through those trials, he can bring out those things so that he continue to shape us and mold us. So at the end of this, that sanctification process, he can bring us out of those trials and go, you look more like my son now. Mm-hmm. Like, you look more, you are a better image bearer of my grace and my hope and my love that is Jesus Christ. So we can celebrate and rejoice through the persecution and the trials that we face, because God can still use those hard times to shape us and mold us. Mm-hmm. So I'll pause at this moment.
Well, I just want to confirm that was Malachi 3:3.
Okay.
You had that right. And it says, he will sit as a refiner. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Mm. So you had it right.
Okay.
We do have several prayer requests. This first prayer request is for Bonnie Glasgow, who lost her husband on April 24th. Mm. Then Bonnie had a heart attack and was in the hospital, so his services were postponed. I believe she's home now, but I'm not sure when Pat's services will be. Mm. And I just think how shocking, how horrible it would be to lose your mate and then to have a heart attack and can't be there to get the services planned, and everything's just on hold.
Yeah.
So we just want to remember Bonnie and the family. The daughter has a flower shop at Sayre, and, you know, I just can't imagine being in their position. and then I'd like for you to continue to pray for Merlin Bowman, who, just short of a miracle, seems to be in his final days as a result of cancer. Merlin is Lance's dad, Lance Bowman, that we brought in our home years and years and years ago. And then, of course, we want to praise for the rain. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful rain we got.
Yes.
I don't know how much it was, but it was
enough. More than what we had.
Yes. It was our ditch out in front of our house was standing full, so that tells me we must have got about an inch or inch and a half. And so that's wonderful, a wonderful praise. And Monica has some sort of prayer request or praise.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
For Austin. So we prayed for Austin a while back, and it just so happened I was coming back from taking Kaylin to the city, and we stopped at the truck stop between Weatherford and Clinton. And I seen this young man that looked real familiar. Praise God. Austin now has 3 months clean.
Great.
And is able to hold down a job.
Oh,
great.
Wow. Good.
Yeah.
3 months now. So if we can, there's a praise for that.
Yeah.
However, can we pray for him and ask the Lord to continue to give him the strength and the courage to keep on coming?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Your mom said your mic's not on. That mic's not working. Okay, so what she was saying was a praise for Austin, who she saw at the truck stop, Love's truck stop between Clinton and Weatherford, and he's been 3 months clean, and so we're going to pray for him to be able to maintain that. So, okay.
May I add one?
Sure.
Okay. I didn't know if that was allowed.
Oh,
no,
sure.
I'm just kidding. this is a family that is really important to me. This is the King family that they serve at First Baptist Cheyenne alongside us. And Casey does a phenomenal job as our worship and children's pastor. But his wife, Leanne, her dad has kind of gone through some difficulty right now with his heart. I don't remember the exact details, but I know they went in for a heart cab or
something and did three bypasses.
And they went in there and they found like several of his arteries were like 99% blocked, specifically like the Widowmaker one.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, and it was like 99% blocked. So to me, I'm like, he is like a walking miracle. I was praying today, like, I am thankful, God, that you had this appointment at this specific time because, man, if it could have gone any longer, I mean, it would have been over.
Right.
And so I'm thankful that he got in when he did and they caught it when they did and that they had to do, I think, like a triple bypass.
Mm-hmm.
And praise be to God that Leanne said that he might get to come home tomorrow. And so I just wanted to continue to lift him up in prayer and then also to praise God for that they caught it and that he's doing well.
Okay.
The Kings are really important to me and my family. And so.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Dearly God, dearly Father God, we just come to you today, just seeking your will out. And God, we want to spend time praying for Bonnie Glasgow. God, we know, goodness, how painful that must feel to lose your significant other, to lose your partner in life. God, we first and foremost, I just pray that you would just bring healing over that situation. God, that you would just continue to draw near her. And God, and bring her peace throughout that and understanding beyond our capability. And God, we know the unfortunate situation, the stress and the waning that it must have had on her body, that God, not too long after that, she had a spell herself of having a heart attack, spent time in the hospital. and God, I pray that you would just help her through this time of, organizing of, if they've had to postpone Pat's services, that God, you would just help heal her heart, heal her body, heal her mind, so that she may be able to be well enough to do the duty that she has to do now, that has to deal with her husband. God, I pray that you would just give her strength through this moment. God, really, I don't know how I would get through this if it wasn't for you. And so, God, I know that you will show up in a supernatural way in her life, that God, you would show her. You are a caring God. You are a loving God, even in our worst moments and circumstances. That God, you are still evident and you are still present. So, Father, I pray you would carry her through this season of grief and difficulty. And God, you would heal her with good health and bring her around to that. But Lord, I pray that she puts her faith and trust in you for that. And so, Lord, I want to take this time to lift up Merlin Bowman. And God, we know that. We met with Lance last week, and God, we know his heart is completely shattered and broken for this. And so, Father, we pray that you would just be with Merlin as we know he is spending just his final days here on this earth. And God, I pray that salvation would come into his life before things would happen. God, I know that Lance has been heartbroken over this, as any child would be, that God, you would give him strength to endure, to push through, and God, to spend these last few days with his dad. And God, maybe taking this opportunity to help lead his father to the Lord, and God, that you would soften his heart for the gospel message. And Father, you would be with Lance as he continues to move forward to do the right thing as a son, of how to take care of his dad in the final days. That God, you would be with him through that. You'd give him strength and his whole family as they come together to get this ready. And God, we just also want to spend time just yet again praising you, thanking you for the rain that you sent. God, yet, like I said earlier, I am so thankful that we serve an almighty God, that, you know, so many people have been praying and praying and praying for rain, and that we serve a God who listens and hears us and knows our needs when we need them. And God, I think it's sent a lot of people back on their knees to be lifting and seeking you in prayer. And Father, you answered those prayers by sending us the rain that we need. And God, I know we need more of it. And God, I pray you would just continue to be gracious to us and bless us in providing us with rain. And God, helping the wind to stay down so that it could have the time to soak in and fertilize and get our lands ready and help the farmers out and to prevent more wildfires. So God, we just seek you in that, and we praise you and thank you, God, for providing in that way. And Lord, we want to continue to pray for Austin. And God, it sounds like that he has been clean for 3 months. And God, what an admirable celebration that is. God, we celebrate that that he has been clean of whatever it was that he was on. God, I pray for his strength, that he would just continue to see the greater need to seek Jesus rather than just seek out the past, the history of whatever it was that he was on. And so, God, I pray that you would just continue to show him your goodness, show him your favor on him. God, thank you for letting him to have a job and continue to hold it down, continuing to work in that field of whatever it is that it is. I pray that he would continue to seek joy in that work of knowing that he is clean, finding joy in the things of God. And God, that he would continue to seek out you in that moment. God, I pray that he has put his faith and trust in you. And God, that you would just continue to seek, that you would continue to change his heart, continue to release old habits, and continue to and put in him new habits, new desires that are to seek out godliness, to seek out the kingdom of God, and to put that first in his life. God, I pray you just continue to work in him in that way. And Father, I just want to lift up the King family and lift up Leanne's dad. And God, we know that there is what an unforeseen situation. It was supposed to be kind of a routine thing and then to turn into something totally different. God, I thank you that they were able to catch it when they were able to. And God, I am thankful for the medical team that you placed around him to work efficiently, to do the best that they can, and that he is now stable, that he is doing well and healing up. God, I know that he is in pain. God, I pray you would just put your healing hands on him. God, help sustain and control the pain that he may be experiencing and be feeling. God, that you would just continue to bless his days as he is growing stronger and feeling better. And God, that you would just continue to be with his wife. And God, I know, is also struggling a little bit in her health. God, I'm thankful for Leanne for being such a great, loving, faithful daughter who has been up there every day with them and helping her parents with that. God, I know you honor that for how we treat our parents. And God, I know that you have been blessing Leanne for being up there with her father and her mom, taking care of them. But God, we love you. We glorify you. We praise you with all that we have. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.